The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
So it was an interesting day yesterday with a visit by the activist Greta Thunberg to President Connolly in the Oras, and also a visit from Mowgli Bopp of NECAP to the Oras as well. There is the continued fallout for Fianna Fáil from the Jim Gavin report, and then the EU debate today. The Taoiseach is over there. They're going to be talking about the use of those frozen Russian assets. And then back home, the question of fox hunting, and a huge majority voted down at the opportunity to ban fox hunting entirely. I'm joined by News Talk's political correspondent, Sean Defoe, to give us a roundup of all of those events. Sean, good morning.
Morning, Pat. What happened to quiet run-ins to Christmas politically? That's what I want to know.
Well, I always say that something terrible happens at Christmas almost every year.
Yeah.
Now, it may not be big in Europe or America, but somewhere in the world, there's something awful happening. Anyway.
Unfortunately,
the Ceausescu's, I remember well when that happened, and they ended up against the wall in a firing squad. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let us talk about the visit to the Oras. Two distinguished visitors to the
Two distinguished visitors, yeah, that's right. Sort of came out of the blue, this one. Greta Thunberg, as you mentioned, was a courtesy call to the Oras, met Catherine Connolly. You'd love to be a fly on the wall for that particular discussion, wouldn't you? And to know what they actually talked about in there, and there's pictures of the two of them from the Oras yesterday. And yeah, as you said, Mowgli Bopp of NECAP fame was organised. So they were, the reason Greta Thunberg is in town was the Bose launch and the new jersey that they had, of course, during the week, and she was supporting that and money going towards Palestine. And there was a run from Daly Mount up to the Oras, and apparently as he ran by, Catherine Connolly was sort of out waving to them through a hole in the fence, or a hole in the hedges as it was put, and shouting encouragements to each other, Os Gaeilge. But there's been a bit of controversy about it, because at the same time Greta Thunberg was putting up a video talking about the Palestinian hunger strikers in the UK, and this is the Palestinian group that's been prescripted, I suppose, been labelled a terrorist organisation, and saying free Palestine, and I suppose the Jewish community.
And that is an issue, obviously, that needs to be talked about, whether or not they are being unduly punished by Britain, you know, no trial yet, and all of that. But a bit tone deaf in the wake of Bondi, I would have thought.
A little bit, isn't it? It's just a bit on the nose, you would think. Maybe wind it back a bit. But other people will say, and a lot of the activists will say, yes, what happened in Bondi is awful. It doesn't excuse anything that is going on in Palestine. And I suppose that's the argument on the flip side. But for Catherine Connolly, she's come under criticism from the Jewish community here in Ireland, saying, look, we've just had this absolutely awful, tragic event that was fueled by a rise in anti-Semitism in Australia and other parts of the world. And some of the people who are doing that, maybe their activism comes out of a good cause. A lot of people, including Jewish people, oppose what's happened in Palestine. At the same time, as you say, just a bit tone deaf in the moment. And to put up a video saying free Palestine and supporting those people without making any reference to Bondi is where the issue comes from. Greta Thunberg, in fairness to Catherine Connolly, she did put out a statement on Bondi as soon as it happened.
You know, I'm just wondering about how many times have we seen the president on the front pages of the Irish Times, which we see today, dressed in an extraordinary green outfit. I don't know what its provenance is. But anyway, how many times have we seen her on the front page of the Irish Times since her election? This may be, you know, with visiting dignitaries,
as it were. With visiting dignitaries, I suppose there was the Zelensky one. She didn't obviously make the front pages there because it was very secondary to the rest of the day. But yeah, in terms of the first big, I suppose, international visitor, this is probably it. And it does, look, this is what people and opponents of Catherine Connolly suspected, that she has very strong views. She never resiled from that views. And that's part of what made her popular. People thought that she was very authentic in it. And suppose, as you say, I can't think of another picture on the front page of a newspaper with her for that to be the first. At the time it came, any other time, like, a lot of people admire Greta Thunberg for her climate activism, but she has also taken another streak that is maybe more hard left than people would agree with.
Now let's talk about the Jim Gavin report. I mean, we thought we were done and dusted with it, but there are, as I put it to Micheál Martin yesterday, a few mongrel foxes out there that might have other ideas.
Well, they can still be hunted now. The fox hunting ban we'll talk about in a little bit. There are, and look, there's a few things we still don't know, but I think the sense I get from talking to Fianna Fáil TDs is it's stuff that's a bit in the weeds. And we still don't actually know when Micheál Martin first found out about the rumours about Jim Gavin. We know when his chief of staff found out and when Sean Dorgan and Fianna Fáil did, but not necessarily him himself. And I thought his interview with you yesterday was interesting in that his thinking seems to be Jim Gavin buried this somewhere in his mind. Would, you know, he had a particularly difficult time.
I think that could be interpreted as a kind view.
Yeah, that's fair. Look, we still don't really know. Jim Gavin didn't contribute to this particular review, even
Nor
though his
did
lawyers
he object to his publication.
He didn't, no, and his lawyers did look over that, so he didn't object to it and characterized it as roughly fair. But that's the great unanswered question, isn't it? And a lot of people look at this and go, how would you forget not owing that amount of money to a tenant, especially if you knew, and maybe didn't know, that that tenant was a journalist and that this was likely to come out? Mm. And given the report explicitly said, Sean Dorgan asked him a number of times, is there any issue you ever had with a tenant because it will come out? So perhaps it is. We all look at the very dark times in our life and maybe we push them to the back of our mind to get by day to day. Would you still not remember it somewhere deep down if you were searching and thought you were suddenly in the glare of the media?
I suppose the problem is you were asked five times and you say, no, I don't remember. If you're going to run a guy, if you don't trust him,
yeah,
you know, you shouldn't be running him anyway. So it boils down to that they made an act of faith and they
got stung for it. And I suppose that damning line in it was, there was no further action taken when they found this out. So
now, will you explain the fox hunting vote for me?
Yeah, resoundingly defeated in the Dáil. I think 124 votes against to 28 or 24. I can't remember the final figure for it. So this is
and yet Heather Humphreys was nailed to the cross for this.
She was, and came under huge scrutiny. Rural pursuits, if I ever hear that phrase again, it'll be a little bit too soon from the presidential election. Fianna Gael and Fianna Fáil made a decision to oppose this particular bill, as did the likes of Independent Ireland, AIM2, etc. So Ruth Coppinger was pushing it at People Before Profit. And I think actually a lot of people listening to this will say there's a lot of sense in the bill. So a lot of misleading, I suppose. She was saying it's barbaric to have these people in red coats on horses chasing with hounds and packs of dogs. Michael Healy-Ray took huge objection to that particular image being conjured, saying actually it was much more rural people and farmers who were maybe having the sheep attacked by foxes who were able to do it. But there actually was a provision in this bill where people could still shoot foxes if they were a danger to livestock. But look, it's been fairly put to bed by fairly shot down itself.
It's amazing what exercise people, a lot of people getting on how we are pronouncing Greta Thunberg.
Mm.
And that's how you pronounce it. I mean, if they want to Google it, they can. They obviously text us before they Google.
And I still say Thunberg. I still find it. But I'm reminded every time you do an item because you were on this first. And I remember the first time you said it, I thought, is that right? And if you Google it,
that is
the
proper
pronunciation.
What happened to me years ago, I was talking about the actress Ingrid Bergman or the director Ingmar Bergman. And everyone was calling him Ingmar Bergman. And I was corrected. No, it's Ingmar Bergman.
Right.
So, and that's how Greta, when you Google her, and she gives her own name. That's how she pronounces
it.
And she's entitled to be called what she's called.
Even if it's difficult for us poor lowlies.
Okay, moving on to what's going on in Brussels. Beside the farmers' protest, which we talked about earlier today, it's the big council meeting for all the prime ministers, including our Taoiseach. And it's a tough agenda.
It is, yeah. And the big question here is the financing of Ukraine into the future and the utilisation of the Russian assets. And this could be worth hundreds of billions of euro, Pat. When it comes down to it, it could really be decisive for the future of Ukraine, especially as those peace talks seem to be stuck in limbo with no give from the Russian side. Belgium, the big objectors, largely because the company that owns or controls at least a lot of the frozen assets is Belgian-based, and they don't really want any part of that. The Belgian PM saying yesterday he hasn't seen anything in terms of a text put forward by the EU that would make him change that particular position. But there does seem to be optimism from the likes of Micheál Martin and from other world leaders. And their argument essentially is the aggressor needs to pay. That if Russia invades Ukraine and does all the damage, and if there is a peace deal and it needs to be rebuilt, the cost of rebuilding that could run into the hundreds of billions. Why should Europe be the ones to foot the bill instead of the country that actually did all that damage?
All right, Sean. Anyway, we'll see whether anything comes out of this. Obviously, Zelensky is not very optimistic. He predicts that Russia is preparing for a really bad year of war against Ukraine and perhaps others. Who knows next
year? Well, this
year
is it. I mean, and this is the big argument that a lot of EU leaders are making. You don't stop it here, and you don't stop it with very strong security guarantees from the US and also Europe. Then who's next? What's the next? Is it Estonia? Is it Poland? Where's the next?
We'll be talking about all of this with Lara Marlow later on in the show. But for the moment, Sean Defoe, News Talk's political correspondent. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.